Hi, Steve Arterburn here. Welcome to New Life Live with Dr. Sherry Denham and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And your phone calls right here on 1-800-229-3000. It is a great day for New Life.
Thank you. That's exactly what I needed for
her. I went through her room. I found bottles of alcohol under her bed and in her closet.
I went in and loaded my pistol, and I sat down in the office, and I just started contemplating everything I've been through.
You know, the Bible does say honor your parents, and the New Testament tells us specifically a lot of ways to do that. But it doesn't say obey them. It says very specifically, for example, in Ephesians, children, obey your parents. Everybody's to honor your parents, but if you are an adult and you are obeying your parents, then you have not graduated yet.
You're not an adult.
You're not an adult yet. And the New Testament is oh so clear about that.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here and fixing her headphones.
Sorry.
Dr. Sherry Denham.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. My right headphone ear was not cooperating, but now it is.
Okay.
So.
Well, glad you're with
me. I'm glad to be here.
I want to talk about the new book, Walking Into Walls. I have a chapter, differentiating walls from boundaries. And because sometimes we think we're setting a boundary, but really we're putting up a wall.
So you're right. You know, you're right. I think about conversations I have with people and I'm thinking they use boundaries kind of defensively to keep them out of having to deal with the fact that it's really a wall and not a boundary.
A boundary always has hope. For instance, a boundary might be, I'm going to go take care of myself and I'm not going to be with you as long as you're not going to take care of yourself. But a wall would be, I'm finished with you. I'm done. I don't want to see your face anymore. There's no hope for this relationship. One would be a boundary that
right,
would have hope. One
right.
would be a wall that would shut down everything.
I'm so glad you brought that into awareness. Because it's you hear people, they just talk and they don't realize that what they're doing. But I like that.
And boundaries have I words in them. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I feel. And walls tend to have you words, like you're a jerk, you're no good, you've done all this stuff, and now you need to go get ready, get healthy or something. And the I words are different than that. So anyway, a lot
nice.
Of times we're creating these walls, and I've listed five blind spots that block God's work in you. And they also block God's worth in you, I think. But anyway, this is it. Walking Into Walls, brand new, hot off the press. And there is an interactive Bible study with me, with video content online. And there's a study guide in here. And I hope you'll look at that. If you would like a copy, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to do something unique today. We're going to go right to our phones, and we're going to talk with Gene from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. WRGN is the station. Hello, Gene.
Hello.
Hi there. What's going on?
Hey, I was just down to a workshop this weekend with you guys.
Really?
Woohoo! Hey, Gene.
Yep, I met a couple of you.
Well, thanks for coming. How was the workshop for you?
It was wonderful.
Really? What was wonderful about it?
Well, one of the things I met Sherry in person, so that was a big plus.
I know your voice, Gene. I can see your face right now, which is really great. That's one of the things I love about the New Life weekends is we actually get to meet you.
Yeah.
So
you came to the weekend, and meeting Sherry was a real highlight for you. Well, that's good, Gene.
I'm sure there were other walkaways. Come on, Gene.
Yeah. Well, and I said it down there. I mean, I came. I wasn't looking for something to totally change my life. But I came there seeing the importance of connection, and you know, being there for the weekend, I just realized how much more important it is.
That's good. Well, we got music going, and so hold on, and we'll get to your question right after this. All right?
Okay.
You're listening to or watching New Life Live with Dr. Sherry Denham. We'll have Dr. Jill Hubbard right after this. But thank you for joining us today. We think it's a great day for New Life. If you want to join us on the phone, it's 1-800-229-3000. If you need some help, it's 1-800-639-5433.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Jill Hubbard, welcome to the program.
Hello, everybody.
Glad you're
to be here.
Yeah, and here comes Gene. And Gene, what's your question for us today?
I'm not currently dating anybody.
Okay.
But the question is, if I were, and it got kind of serious, and somewhere along the line I decided this wasn't the woman for me, I have, and I was thinking this for a long time, I would have trouble telling her or feeling I had the right to tell her, I don't think I want you on my team.
You would have a hard time telling someone that they deserve a person that would really care and cherish them and love them as if there's no other person on the face of the earth?
No, I wouldn't have a trouble telling them that, no.
Okay.
No.
Well, I think sometimes when we have to say goodbye, to say that a person deserves something better than I can give you, something deeper and richer than I can give you, you deserve better than this, that I think that really is a great favor to them versus you just hang on because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Well, and Gene, are you going to marry them because you don't want to hurt their feelings?
I really wouldn't want to do that. No, no.
I mean, if you take it to the extreme, right? It sounds kind of absurd.
Right, right. So, right, right. I understand what you're saying. That's one of the reasons why I'm calling. I wouldn't want to marry somebody because I wouldn't want to, you know.
So let me ask you a question because it sounds like defensive dating, kind of like defensive driving. It sounds like you're already thinking about, like, this is something that you're concerned about, that you're not dating anybody right now, but if you are going to date somebody that's not the woman for you, that you want to be able to tell her that she's not... Did you say not? You don't want her on your team, that she's not part
of
the team?
Well, I was just trying to say somehow, yeah, well, see, and for me, it's a matter of even feeling like I had the right to do that, I guess.
Oh, like you wouldn't have the right to do that. I mean, do you find women cling to you and they're hard, like Klingons, they're hard to detach from if you need to, or...
No, I really haven't found that problem. Well, there is a couple exceptions to that. Generally, no, that's not a problem.
But Gene, is it just hard to say no in general? Because you're in a sense you're saying no to that person. You're saying not you,
right? Yeah. And I think if I'm sure about something, it's not hard for me to say no. You know, if I'm a little bit iffy on it, then it is.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I'm just sitting here kind of scratching my head a little bit because I'm thinking, thank you for bringing this to us. And I know it's a concern of you, but there's something in me that's going, it still feels like defensive driving. Like your foot's already kind of out the door a little bit. You're going
Before
into dating.
Before she's even started?
Yeah. Like you're kind of thinking, as I think about going into dating, I want to be able to tell the woman that really you're not a part of my team. So I'm like, how would that way of dating work very well? Because it's kind of
a
you're
setup.
Kind of starting with a negative, right? That I'm already thinking that I want to be able to tell the woman that she's not a part of my team. And I'm like, why would you be kind of dating defensively that way?
I don't know. I'm just, I guess it would be out of fear, I guess.
Yeah. Fear of what?
Well, I don't know. Fear Right now, I'm thinking, well, this is some of my thinking. Like, I would rather have her tell me that than me tell her that. I mean, as much as it would hurt me, if I was about her, and, you know, I mean, I was all about her, and, you know, she decided, well, you know, Eugene, you know, I decided not, you're not the one, that would really hurt. But still, in my mind, I'd rather her that happen than the opposite would have to happen.
If that means anything.
I don't know what to tell you.
You know, it's just kind of weird, the question, because it's kind of like somebody saying, well, you know, if I were in a car accident, and they wanted to treat me first because I was more serious, but I'd want them to treat the other person. I mean, who thinks like that? Who thinks about what if I'm in a car accident and then I want something? Why are you asking this question? What's at the source of this question?
Maybe I don't know right now.
Yeah.
Because I think it's keeping women away from you. I think women pick up on kind of how you enter into even a possibility. If it is fear, they might be picking up on the fear. That is kind of like you're a guy and you've got one foot in and one foot out, because I don't want to get trapped in here. I don't want to be with someone that I don't know how to say no to. I don't. It just feels fear-based.
Or I don't want to crush somebody.
Or there's somebody you've bumped into from time to time and you know they're wanting more from you than you can give.
Well, I mean, I do sort of have a lady in my life right now like that. Well, she's not in my life too much right now, but she was pursuing me. I didn't want to be pursued by her, and it was a problem for quite a while.
So what'd you do?
I just kept on saying I'm not interested, and I said about 100 times, and I think maybe finally she decided maybe I'm not interested.
So you didn't have a problem saying it?
No, I really didn't.
Okay. But next time you worry that you wouldn't be able to say it?
Well, I'm worried about, you know, the relationship was on a year, and maybe I'm thinking I am interested, and then something, you know, something happens, and I decide I'm not, and I don't know.
So, Gene, has this happened before? Have you been in these situations before?
Oh, all I can tell you is when I was young, not young anymore, but when I was young, I mean, I would break up with girls sometimes, and then we get back together, and I'd break up again, you know, I mean, I did. I mean, I don't know if that has anything to do with what I'm talking about right now, but I did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it does really sound like you're very ambivalent about moving into an intimate relationship, and that you're already trying to decide the outcome before you've even started, and part of relationship, there is risk. And so you have to be open, and there has to be an openness to be able to get to know another person and explore things about yourself and about them before you can ever know the outcome.
Right.
So there's no guarantees to dating. And so you're either willing to take the risk or you're not. But it sounds like there's some issues around intimacy that maybe need a deeper look.
I'll send How We Love.
I think that'd
be
great.
Maybe there'd be some insight there.
I think that'd be great.
Okay. Gene, I'm glad you called. Thanks for sharing that with us. And let's talk with Michelle from Los Angeles, California. KKLA is the station. Hello, Michelle.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. Thanks for calling us. And thanks for holding on another day so long. Appreciate
it. No problem.
How could we help you?
Well, I'm so glad I got through to you guys. The reason I'm calling is I've been dating a guy, and the situation is he owns a house, and his parents lost a business and lost all their money out in another state. So he moved him down, moved him into his house, he moved himself into his back guest house, and had them living there for 4 years to help them out. Well, unfortunately, his stepfather just passed away in December, so now his mom is all alone, and since then, he's just recently moved into the front house and moved his mom into the back guest house. Well, we're talking about a future and having kids and everything, and, you know, you're hearing in the Bible, leave and cleave, and you hear all these stories, horror stories about mother-in-laws, you know, getting in the way of the marriage, and I guess I'm just frightened, and he has mentioned to me she's selfish, she's hard to get along with. You know, I've met her several different times, and I'm just concerned what to do with her living now in the back guest house.
Right. And, okay, so the question would be for us, What?
My question would be, and I was actually wanting to have us both be on the phone at the same time when I called you. I've told him my concerns about this. She's very needy. She's not the healthiest person. She doesn't take very good care of herself, so she's constantly calling him on his cell phone. He's a great son. He's the only son she has, so he feels guilty. So we've had some arguments about this, and I guess my question is there a book out there, or what can I do to get help with the situation? She's only on Social Security, so I've mentioned, you know, possibly getting her out so she's around people. She's not so isolated.
Well, a couple of thoughts, and I want to hear from Jill and Sherry, but I'm thinking of the song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. Your husband...
Boyfriend.
Your boyfriend.
It's a boyfriend.
That would be husband. Would either make this work or not. A mother-in-law living in a guest house could be a very good thing if there were some rules, as if she were living across town, such as, hey, we're going to have you over for dinner on Tuesday night. In other words, you're not welcome for dinner the other nights of the week.
Mm-hmm. I will mention, since we've been dating and when he was in the back guest house, she would literally just walk right in.
Yeah, well, he has to deal with that. And if he can't deal with that, then you wouldn't want to move forward with him because he is too enmeshed with his mother. And I understand feeling bad about your mother and being the only son and all those kinds of things, but still, she has to have her own life.
Right.
I'm hearing a pleaser.
Yeah.
He sounds like he might be a pleaser, yeah. Michelle. Do you know what that is?
Wanting to please people all the time.
Yeah, like he has a hard time with boundaries, and
he has set boundaries. He is strong with her, but she seems to be manipulative, and
yeah.
She knows how to work that guilt thing. And she's always sick, and she just got over breast cancer. So he's like, God, I feel guilty if I move her into her own place. I want to be able to check on her.
That sounds like something a pleaser would say.
Yeah,
and so you have to look long and hard at that. In Mylan Kay's book, How We Love, pleasers can be really charming and enchanting, and you love their hearts because they've got great hearts.
Because they do everything for you.
They do.
Right?
They're a lover of people. They take care. I mean, they're not like heartless. They love too much in that way, and they struggle with drawing the lines. I honestly don't think that he's... I'm sitting here going, I don't think he's ever going to move her out.
Well, yeah, Michelle, what I was going to say is that you need to decide if you love this man and the whole package, meaning mom isn't going anywhere. She is going to stay.
That's my sense,
right
too.
There. Now, there could be better boundaries. And, there are lots of cultures and families where taking care of extended family is normal and natural. Okay, so we don't always have to have everybody carted off into their own little separate place. But people have respect for each other. And certainly if he were to get married, it's a great opportunity to say, okay, things are different now.
Right.
Okay, and to see how he handles that and if he's willing to step up to the plate and endure some of those guilty feelings.
Mm-hmm. Right, because he is an only child, and we've gotten into an argument about it, and I understand. I understand.
Okay, so here's a great opportunity to watch how he, after you have a discussion with him, watch how he manages his mother, manages his time with his mother, and manages the boundaries between him and his mother. And if he can't do that very well, there are a lot of things he's not going to be able to do very well. And he's going to put his mother before you, so he's not really committing to you. He's committing to his mother. You have a right to have your own life with him, and whether mom's in the guest house or in a nursing home, there has to be a separation between the two of you and her.
But instead of...
I need to hear that, because I'm feeling really bad, because we'll get into an argument and I don't want to get rid of her. We need privacy.
Yeah, so you just you need some parameters and boundaries and rules. And if he's not willing to have any of those, if she just can walk into the house at any time, day or night, you've got a bigger problem there than you want to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be an all or nothing. You don't need to compete with mom to occupy the same space. Mom has her space and place, and you have yours, and there needs to be a distinction there. The roles are different.
He might, what Jill said was really great, because it means that he's going to have to get used to not picking up the phone when his mom calls. Like letting it go into voicemail, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's what it looks like when a pleaser has to face their guilt and let it go and let his mom tolerate sitting and waiting for a call back.
Yeah, good point. Okay, I'm going to send you for him having that difficult conversation you need to have, or whatever the title of that book is, and also The Mom Factor. I'll send that to you.
That would be good.
Hope that those will be helpful. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. And there's that website, newlife.com. It's a good one. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. If you support this ministry with a one-time gift, I'll send you my new book. Just pulled it out of the box this morning, Walking Into Walls. If you've been walking into walls, then there are five blind spots in your life that prevent God working in your life. You ought to take care of those, get rid of them, and turn your walls into some nice, healthy boundaries. That'd be a really good thing. Let's go back to the phones. And
Michelle would probably like to add a few more walls around her mother-in-law, don't you think?
Yeah,
future
she
mother-in-law.
She might want to wall her off totally and
build the own city, like the city of David, the city of mother-in-law.
Right, there you are. Okay, let's talk with Ann from Aberdeen, Washington. KGNW is the station. Hello, Ann. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call.
Certainly.
I cannot begin to tell you what a tremendous blessing your program has been. As someone who's practiced Christian counseling in my community, I listen to you religiously, and you have been a tremendous help in dealing with situations that come my way, because I get very similar situations. And today you're talking about boundaries, and that's exactly where my question is about.
Well, Anne, I'm glad you called. We don't push ourselves as a religion, but we are glad that you listen religiously. Thank you very much.
Okay, so I know you're not a, you're not a religion, and I'm non-denominational as well.
Okay.
But mine has to do with boundaries in the faith community.
Okay.
And I actually worked as a Christian counselor organization for the faith community, and began to start feeling very used.
Mm-hmm.
They relied on me very heavily. I also coordinated children's ministry, led cell groups, did a lot of things, but I was not compensated financially for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the program was not working the way that I felt, maybe not I shouldn't felt, but the way that it was intended to work.
Yeah.
For example, if I, you know, I won't counsel males. Just because I'm a woman, and I would refer out, back out to the pastor,
right?
Because you help, and I wasn't getting that. And what I was hearing from them is, we really need you because you're so connected to the community. You work in, with other organizations, and we really need you. Just hang on, hang on. Something's coming. Something's coming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I finally began to start feeling just tired and frustrated, and I set some boundaries, and I spoke up, and I said, I'm no longer going to do this. And I was still getting called. I was getting called for resources. I was getting called to have referrals. And this went on for over 6 months. You know, I wrote letters. I said, you know, I'm not going to be doing this for free anymore. And I had to just walk away. Even from my own church, I had to just stop showing up because I had said to them, I need a break. I need to be fed myself.
Sure.
And they would calling and say, aren't you going to show up on Sunday to teach children's church?
All right,
and
so what's the question for us? I think we get the picture
here. My question is how do I trust the faith community again? I'm having a hard time. I grew up believing you don't put your faith in man. You put your faith in God because he's the one truth and he's the steady truth. And I've seen things in the faith community. I've seen...
Yeah, but you don't have a problem with the faith community. You have a problem with your church.
Well, I wasn't working with just my church. I was working with all the local churches in my area, in a small community.
And I would probably dovetail, Ann, with what Steve just said.
They were referring all their... They were relying on me
but
heavily.
I get it. We totally get it. Let me kind of step in with you a little bit deeper.
That'd be great.
I think that you don't have a problem with your faith community. Your question was, how do I trust my faith community? I think your question is, how do you trust yourself?
Okay.
Because
that's a good reflection
of
think about.
You're wanting it to be about the faith community, but it's really about you trusting your own lack of boundaries or ability to keep boundaries. You are a...
In the face of other people's need.
Yeah.
Right? It feels good to be needed and wanted
right.
and called upon for what you can offer.
Right.
And so that can be very seducing and pull you in to then saying yes more than you want to really. Or more than over time, you know, you're giving more than you really wanted to give over time.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
They start expecting
it. You know, my other portion of work that I do, which really helped me, is that I work in dependency court. So when I'm in court and I'm standing up in front of a judge, I have to be very direct and to the point.
Okay.
And that's what happened. I was nice about it at first, but there's a real fine line between not being heard and being just kind of feeling disrespected.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Why do you think you have a hard time of following through on setting a boundary and then sticking to that boundary?
I don't think I had a hard time following through with the boundary. I set the boundary.
Okay, you set it, but then they called you, and you took the call, and you did.
Well, I took the call and said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be assisting you anymore.
So this is what you do. On your answering machine, hi, this is Anne. I am no longer da-da-da-da-da. Please call this church and faith community, and they'll be more than happy to help you. Have a good day.
That's exactly how my message reads.
Okay, well, good for you. So you've taken that step. But you're still struggling.
I'm struggling because I guess I was hurt. I thought, you know, I gave a lot, and I thought, I mean, nobody called me. Nobody came to check in on me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, even from my own church, and we had one of the bigger churches in our community, and I just felt used.
So maybe it's more about forgiveness.
Probably.
We'll talk about this when we come back. And glad that you called. Hold on, Ann. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Sherry Denham, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and Ann, who is a counselor, issues with the church or faith community over using her. Ann, are you still there?
I am still here, yes.
You're just so usable, Ann.
Yes, I am, aren't I? And I wanted to tell you that I do take ownership in part of this because I think I stayed in it much longer mm-hmm. than I should have. So I
right.
do
Good.
Put a lot of blame on myself that I didn't speak up earlier.
Yeah, they saw your actions. They didn't hear your
Absolutely.
Words.
Absolutely.
Right.
And as far as forgiveness, I'm not a person that goes around and talks about this to heart to anybody, really. I never ran to the pastor with problems, and I'm not that kind of person. I think my issue is I want to step back into the faith community. I want to find good fellowship, and I'm having a hard time doing that. The first question I'll get asked is we really could use your help in this area, and I'm very direct and say, I'm not going to be doing ministry for a while. I'm taking a break, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I still feel like I'm not being heard somehow.
Well, maybe you need to be a little lighter about it. It may have more gravity if you're actually lighter about it, where you just say, oh, wow, right now I have no time. But someday maybe I'll let you know when I'm available.
Right.
Because
right.
I almost hear, Anne, that you're wanting something in them hearing you. And
I do.
You know,
I do. I mean, when I took some time out and I walked back into the church and I specifically, they'd asked me, we see you with the children, you're very good. And I specifically stated I'm not going to be doing children's ministry. I go to, that I attend a service and
okay.
in my lap they're putting a background information and all of this they want me to fill out. So,
you don't have to fill that out. You don't have to fill it
hey,
out.
Hey, Anne, guess what, my dear?
I didn't fill it out, but I'm just saying, they're not hearing me?
Well, Anne, I'm afraid you're not hearing you. I'm still going to come back to you, right? Because
okay.
we're all therapists here, right? We get
right.
that we've had issues we've had to work through to get us to do the work that we're doing, but we're wounded healers. And I'm hearing a wound here in you.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, so let's talk about that. Because whenever somebody says, I stayed in longer than I should have, the thing that I hear is, I stayed in longer. What are you longing for? There is a longing that you have, an unmet need that is not being met. And you keep going out there and getting hooked into these situations where you give too much because you want something. You're trying to get something from the people you're serving. And then you get all upset when they don't give you what you need or they take advantage of you. What's that about? Where does that go back in your history?
I don't know if that's my history.
Well, you think about, have you had this happen a lot before? Is this a very familiar pattern?
No, this has not happened a lot before. This has only happened with the faith community. This has not happened in other situations. I actually do a ministry that isn't related to this faith community. I run a Young Life program. It's absolutely wonderful.
Okay.
Very supportive. And in all my other works that I've done, I've never felt used or
so,
it only happened in the faith community.
So let me ask you a question.
I'm having a hard time with this because...
What if you were to change faith communities? What would it feel like if you were to go to a new faith community and you were not to tell them that you were a therapist or a counselor or anything? That you were to go in and just be Anne. And if they say, what do you do? And you say, oh, I work with people. And you weren't to tell them about all these wonderful programs you're a part of. And see...
don't be giving them your resume.
Yeah. Just go in incognito and be a normal human being.
And I think that's a great idea. I would have to travel an hour to get away from the area, and I mean the area that I work
in. Is that worth your healing to travel an hour to see what it feels like to just be a normal human being, Anne, and to not get hooked? Because I think you end up hooking yourself. Because I think there's something there that hooks you, and you end up letting people know what you do, and then they all run for you, and you get something out of it. You need to just be Anne.
All right. I wish we had more time, Anne. I really hope and pray that you'll find that balance between helping but also maintaining control of your life and your time. Speaking of helping, I want to talk with Kalo. Kalo is one of the friends of the ministry here, and she's going to be working with Sherry in the Women in the Battle. She's going to be on a panel there. And Kalo, hi.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you. Maybe you could tell everybody why you want this Women in the Battle workshop to take place.
Well, I feel that it is a wonderful counterbalance to the Everyman's Battle that has been so incredibly successful. It does in a weekend what, can't be done otherwise, and it obviously doesn't supplant all of the other things that are necessary for recovery, but it's sort of like an injection. And I sort of felt like after my husband attended Everyman's Battle, he had just a real spirit and energy to change, and I sort of felt left in the lurch. And in talking to New Life about doing something for women who are involved with men who either had or are having sexual addiction problems, that maybe there was something that we could do for women. And it's exciting that this is going to take place.
Yeah, and thank you for being one of those people that pushed it forward. What are you hoping would happen if somebody who has a husband or a boyfriend who's messing around with pornography, what are you hoping is going to happen for that person?
Well, it goes beyond. It's not just pornography. It's affairs. It's, just all kinds of, behavior that doesn't have sexual integrity. And I actually have met people who have had sons-in-laws or sons. It's for all women of all ages to come and, bond with other women, to learn from what other women have done, to get the expert advice of Sherry and other counselors.
What is one thing? Hey, Kalo, this is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hey, how are you? I'm just thinking all these women right now are listening to you because you've been through the battle, and you and your husband are walking right now in healing and sobriety.
Right.
What's one thing that you have done different in light of what you've learned after your husband came home from EMB that you've done different that has helped your marriage to move forward?
Well, I think that I'm very fortunate that he came home committed to saving our marriage. but I furthermore became committed to not allowing anything that I felt was, you know, improper to enter into our home. Any inappropriate behavior with another woman, I just had zero tolerance. And, you know, I had been married 32 years when he finally went to every man's battle. Mm. And, you know, that's a long pattern to turn around.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you learned how to have a voice and bring something to him and make requests, make requirements
exactly.
of him in order to protect your marriage, which that's something we're going to be talking about on that weekend.
Yeah, so. There will be women there that will not have made a move other than to come to this.
Then, yep.
Because
exactly.
they don't know how or they aren't willing yet.
Sure.
And this is going to help them see that they do have some power and mm-hmm. they do have a position to maintain and mm-hmm. uphold.
Exactly. And the reason we felt so strongly about changing it from wives in the battle to women in the battle is that we want to embrace women, you know, in all walks of life. I think it's really exciting, Sherry, don't you, that we're going to have four generations, you know, presenting.
On the panel. We're going to have a group of women there, Tina, Kalo, Nancy, and Shelley, who are all in different stages of life and with different stories and myself. So, and then we're going to actually have an open panel where the women in the group can ask questions. Mm. So bring your questions. We really want to hear from you, and it's going to be a powerful weekend.
Well, thank you, Kalo, for joining
us. Thanks, Kalo, for sharing.
Yeah, and hi to Jill, too.
Yes, hi, Kalo.
How are you?
We'll see you at the battle.
Okay, see you in September.
Okay, all right, thanks. Well, she's a great lady and a great supporter of this ministry, and you know,
and she offers a lot of hope.
She does.
Yeah. Hats off to her for, after all those years, mm-hmm. deciding I need some new rules to work
right.
with here.
Yeah.
And then look what happens. He gets the help that he needs. Well, if you are struggling with demanding someone get some help or requesting that they get help or following through on the demand or the request, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-639-5433. Ask us about the Women in the Battle workshop that Dr. Sherry Denham is going to be doing along with some of the other presenters, the panel and all. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a liberating time, liberation from whatever that cell is that you've been hiding in. It'll help you get out. The keys will be there. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, Women in the Battle. We'll be back.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Sherry Denham. Let's talk with Diana from Northridge, California. KKLA is the station. Hello there.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. This is Diana?
Yes, this is Diana.
All right. What's going on?
Well, I mean, my question, and it could be a whole thing, but I guess I'm trying to, how do I get my husband back to reconnect to our marriage? We just got married, like, in April, but we've known each other for, 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have a daughter, and he's not a Christian. I mean, I didn't know him as being a Christian. And yes, we were living together, and
so you, Diana, you've been living together 13 years, or you've been dating 13 years.
We
and
living together probably about like 10, yeah, 10. No,
about 10 years. About so you
years.
Just got married.
Yeah,
you just got officially married.
Well, yeah, some legal issues before.
Okay, and your daughter is how old?
Nine.
Nine.
She's
okay.
Nine, and okay, you just got married, and she's nine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We've been together for, like I said, a long time. I have another son, but from the previous relationship.
So you guys have been living as married people.
Yes.
And then got married.
Yeah.
And
so you're not really newlyweds. That makes sense.
Okay. So so what happened when you got married?
Well, I got married at my church I go to, and... And I asked him again because, you know, it was really, really bothering me not being married. And I told him, you want to marry? Because, you know, I don't want to live together anymore like this. So he said, yes. And then I said, okay. So we did the, next step. And then it was in just April. And just like maybe a month later, he just started kind of getting distance. And he just, he has Facebook. So he started going out with, people from Facebook and just kind of distance himself from that.
Like guys he's going out with or girls he's going out with?
Guys and girls, because there'll be some of his old, high school and stuff like that.
So is this all new since you've been married, whereas for the last 10 years living together he wasn't like this?
Like going out? No. He was home always playing those computer games. So he was, an addictive personality where he...
So he was still doing kind of non-relational behaviors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So he's kind of a little bit of a immature man, you'd say?
Yeah, if you tell him that, I don't know.
Well,
he
I'm not telling him that.
I'm
talking to you. He's got a 9-year-old and a wife, and the way you describe him is
games.
He plays games. How old is the man? How old is he?
He's like 38.
How much respect do you have for this man?
Well, for all the years, I know things accumulated and stuff. And
How much respect do you have for him?
I try to have respect. I didn't have respect with them. I really didn't. As far as because I felt like always playing house, not being like the godly wife you're supposed to be.
So you feel like maybe you pushed him into marrying you, and now what? He doesn't want to be married.
Well, I mean, he's like distanced himself. He's kind of disengaged with the family. He has like. You start going to gym, working out, and he has
right.
He's always been disengaged.
Yeah, he's always. This isn't new.
But
well, no, I'm not gonna. Yeah, because he's always.
I think once he got married, he felt trapped. I think this behavior was going on all along, but Now, once he's married, he feels trapped, and he's like, I'm not going to be trapped. I'm going to just now come out, right. And I'm going to do Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on these dates with other people. I'm going to start working out the club because I'm running away from home.
Yeah,
basically.
It's like, oh wow, I fought her back for 10 years, and then I got married, and now I'm trapped. How in the world could I have done that?
But I also think, Diana, that once you got married, you had different expectations. I mean, you're saying this wasn't a Christian guy, okay?
Yeah.
And so now you've got married so that you would feel better. And,
well, of course, I'd do the right thing.
And you were hoping marriage would whip him into shape.
And you were hoping that somehow he would become the man that you needed him to be. And he's not. And I think you're noticing more and more what has been there all along.
Well, I mean, because I do blame myself, too, sometimes, just because, you know, I didn't give him that, you know, respect and trust. And
right. Okay, now, Diana, we're going to give you 1, 2, 3, what you might do to help here. What do you think she ought to do? Because we just have a couple of minutes.
Okay. So, Diana, I think that you need to start looking at things more realistically, looking at the man that you have and who you married, instead of what you're hoping for it to be.
Okay.
I think that you probably, the two of you, if he would go, you need to get into some counseling.
Yeah.
Because you've got
kids.
That's
exactly where I was going. Couple counseling. Because it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
Right. And you're going to get more miserable.
New Life
and
Weekend.
And he's going to act out more.
New Life Weekend would be a great thing.
Be a great thing.
And if he's going out with women on Facebook.
Not okay.
Okay. So you need some strengthener. You need some help and support. Maybe you could come to this Women in the Battle workshop because of what he's doing, and you'd find a different way of looking at life. I'm going to send you Walking into Walls. I think that'll give you some insight into him and into yourself and what you've been doing. I hope so. And anybody else wanting that book, that is our book of the month, Walking into Walls. So please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll get that to you.
Isn't it amazing how somebody will, I heard her say, you know, I feel for her because she's like, I want to do the right thing.
I know, and that's honorable.
So in the midst of doing, it's like, I want to do the right thing.
But sometimes in order to respect another person, we have to respect ourselves first, and she needs to start respecting herself.
Very good. Yep. Okay, so we've got Women in the Battle, September the 23rd. We have a wonderful Every Man's Battle workshop coming up. You can attend that in Sacramento. It's not too late to attend. And then we have the Lose It for Life toward the end of the year in November. It's going to be great. But I'd like to ask you to join Club New Life today. We have had over 500 people join Club New Life. We're looking for 1,000 new members this year, and we're kind of on track for that. But you could help us. Every time we add 1,000 people to Club New Life, we add $42,000 of base pay to help us with the stations and with this ministry. So it's a big deal to us, and you could become part of that 1,000. We need a bunch of you, about 1,000 of you, to make it 1,000. So please call us. When you join, we'll send you a Life Recovery Bible. We send you resources every other month, a book or a CD or something. And I sit down and make a Club New Life CD for you every month, me or Larry or Becky sometimes. And we give you ministry updates, calls that we hope you didn't miss on the program, and a teaching from one of us. We also do events for you, and there's an online community. Try becoming a member of Club New Life. But if there's any way you could help us in this, the dog days of giving, the dog days of August summer giving, please help us. A lot of times, people, it just doesn't happen in August. It's the worst month for giving in most every ministry. Could you step up? Maybe you've been blessed financially, and God's been leading you to be generous. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Maybe that if that's the direction that God is leading you. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and numerically that's 1-800-639-5433, or you can go to newlife.com. My thanks to you, Sherry and Jill, to all of you who support us and listen and watch. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program,
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.